This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Ozone is one of the many gases we breathe in every day. Some of it's natural, a reaction between plants and the sun. But burning fossil fuels by driving our cars and using coal-fired electric plants produces even more ozone. And this ground-level ozone has long been linked to respiratory problems like asthma. And a study out this week from Duke University and Duke Kunshan University in China points to other risks, this time related to cardiovascular health. Drew Day is a research associate with the Nicholas School of Environment at Duke University and the Duke Global Health Institute, and he is one of the researchers who worked on the study. Drew, welcome. Good to have you here.
Hello, Frank. Thank you for having me.
Let's start with the main findings. What effect does breathing ozone have on our health, and particularly heart health?
Well, from our study, we were able to find a link between ozone, even at relatively low levels, and the activation of platelets and also increases in blood pressure. And these are processes that over time could lead to cardiovascular outcomes, particularly for people who already have pre-existing conditions or are vulnerable to cardiovascular disease in the first place.
So do we know, I mean, are there sort of threshold levels that trigger this, or is it a kind of arithmetic? The more there is, the more of this kind of thing you will see.
There may be a threshold. We weren't able to identify that in our research. The levels that we were looking at, though, were pretty much all below standards provided by the US EPA and also by the World Health Organization.
And those standards that we have now for ozone levels in our atmosphere, right, are they tied to particular ailments like cardiovascular disease? I mean, how did we get those numbers in the first place, those thresholds?
Well, the link between ozone and cardiovascular disease is not yet established as causal. So we've known that ozone has been a dangerous air pollutant since at least the 1940s, and the link between ozone and respiratory disease is very established, and to the point where you can take a person, put them in an exposure chamber, and see a very clear lung function response where it becomes more difficult for them to breathe or able to breathe less. So the standards are mostly based on the levels at which we see those lung function changes.
All right, so now we found a new link, or at least the possibility of a connection between ozone levels and cardiovascular disease. How would it work? Explain what the finding that you developed in your research and kind of what that would mean to me as somebody breathing this in and my heart health.
Well, in terms of how it would work, ozone is something that is extremely reactive. It's so reactive that there's no way that it can get into the cardiovascular system if you breathe it in. It will react as soon as it contacts the airway. And so for the longest time, that has been part of the reason why people have not looked into or they've weighted the evidence differently in terms of ozone and cardiovascular disease. But once those reactions happen at the airway surface, it can create damage patterns that then set off the inflammatory response, and then those signals can enter the vasculature and cause cardiovascular effects downstream.
All right. And so you talked about finding these effects at levels lower than are permissible in our regulations today. Mm-hmm. So what would that mean? I mean, in terms of just effects across the country, I mean, is there some way for us to gauge our vulnerability to this? Let's ask the question a different way. At this point, there's a fair number of people who are living in areas of the country that are already above the threshold, above the permissible levels of ozone, right?
That's right. As of 2015, which is the last year that we updated the ozone standards, there was about 40% of the U.S. population, or about 122 million Americans, who lived in counties that exceeded the, at the time, 75 ppb U.S. EPA standard.
And so that's already, and you're saying you're finding effects at even lower levels than that. So
yes.
What remains to be done? I mean, clearly this is preliminary research. What's the next step for you to make a causal link, either definitive or not?
Well, there are many different levels of research when you're trying to develop a causal link for a toxicant. I think that at the epidemiological level, when we're looking at broad populations and associations between outdoor exposure and things like hospitalizations and disease, there's more and more evidence that ozone is linked, even at low levels, with cardiovascular disease. So what remains to be seen is exactly how the mechanism works and establishing that in a framework in which we can definitively say that it is causing it. So this research is based on a natural experiment where we observe people's levels, we observe changes in exposure, and we associate those. So from the perspective of an exposure chamber and from animal studies where you can more effectively control the exposure and know exactly what people are getting, that's where we need to explore these mechanisms more carefully and clearly and find a threshold level if there is one.
All right. Well, I want to thank you very much for being with us. Drew Day is a research associate with the Nicholas School of Environment at Duke University and the Duke Global Health Institute and one of the researchers who worked on this study. Drew, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.